All right, we're going to get started this morning. Pastor Greg has asked again one of our own to come and do a men's serious men's class, and so Pastor Tim Miller, so let's give him our full attention this morning.
All right, 1 Kings 19. Ryan, why don't you get 1 Kings 19, 15 through 21. Devin, 1 Kings 19, 19. Will, 1 Kings 19, 20. Matt, 1 Kings 19, 16. Daniel, you want to get 1 Kings 19, 20 the second time? Blanking Mr. Vicencia. 1 Kings 19, 21. Caleb, Matthew 28, 19. And Nate, 1 Kings 19, 21, the second time. Okay, so this serious man came out of something I heard the first guy that we sent out, something I heard him say recently. I don't know if I had had him come back to preach in our church or exactly what the setting was, but in his kind of his opening before he got started, he was kind of, you know, thanking people and thanking our church for sending him out and investing in him. And then he referenced a conversation that I had had with him that just when I heard him talking about it, it kind of stuck with me. And he said, "I'll never forget." And he talked about the conversation that we had had, and it was right outside the front of our church. And he said, "I'll never forget, Pastor, talking to me outside those front doors." And he said, "That conversation changed my life. It's why I am where I am today." So today he's pastoring, having an incredible move of God. We had sent them out a little over 2 years ago. He's been self-supporting since the beginning of the year. And I looked at his goal sheet last month, and it's nothing short of a miracle what God's doing there. But the thing that stuck with me is he referenced this specific conversation. And what that conversation was it was basically me, I don't know how spiritual the conversation was from my side, but I had come to a place where I was so desperate for some of these guys to start really moving forward in their destiny that I had kind of been waiting around to see who was really going to start catching on to pursuing their calling, and not really seeing that, I finally just grabbed him and I pulled him outside, and I had a very honest conversation with him, and I challenged him about his future and about the current state of his life. And I said, "What has God called you to do?" And he said, "Well, God's called me to pastor." And I said, "Well, let's be honest, you are not going to get there by living life the way that you're living it right now." And I said, "So what's it going to be, man? Are you really going to do this or not?" And again, I don't know if I was supposed to have that conversation with him, but I did. And but it was interesting that was the conversation he referenced as he's talking about what God is doing with his life. So that kind of inspired me to put together this serious man. And I want to talk to you about the challenge this morning, the challenge. Because I believe that a challenge from a pastor to a man. Now, obviously, there's many men here this morning with many different destinies, and these challenges may come in different ways, but I believe that setting, that scenario, a pastor challenging his man, is a very profound scenario, and it has incredible implications for our lives, for our families, for our fellowship, for our church. You know, sitting at this table, there is so much potential. I remember sitting at this table for years, Pastor Greg telling us, you guys have heard it, and I look at you and I see cities, I see nations. And he would say these things, and it's so true, but I think a lot of it is going to have to do with this issue right here. So, kind of two parts to this. There's going to be a future application for this lesson, which some of you one day you're going to be pastoring, and there's going to be an application for you challenging your men. But the other application, which applies to all of us all the time, is how do we respond when we are the ones that are being challenged. So we're going to reference the very familiar story of Elijah challenging Elisha. Brian, why don't you go ahead and read 1 Kings 19, 15 through 21 for us.
That the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and then you will arrive, anoint Hazael, the king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimish, and the king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shareph, and Abel, Hiloah, who shall anoint as a prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael and Jehu will be killed, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using this oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. And he arose and followed Elijah, and he became his servant.
Okay, so let's think first about the necessity of a challenge. Now, challenges are going to come in various different forms, so I don't think there's just one. For some people, a challenge in their mind is a correction. Now, that can be, it's not all the time, it can be an encouragement, an inspiration, a lot of different forms that a challenge could come in. But let's think about some of the universal principles about a challenge. First, if we looked at a dictionary definition, challenge is a call to take part in something. And I think that's a very useful definition for what we're talking about is, you know, you think of in our scripture, Elisha is being challenged by Elijah to be a part of something that God is doing. And that is the challenge. It's a pastor that sees the potential of a man and is calling him, is in inviting him to be a part of what God is doing. A challenge is a confrontation between the vision that a pastor has for a man and the current state of that man's life. 1 Kings 19, verse 19.
So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him.
Okay, so you have to understand what's happening here. Think about Elisha. He's existing happily in a life of comfort, right? Really what he's doing is he's running the family business. So he's well off. This is comfortable. He's got family around him. This is probably what he's been aiming at his entire life. And life is good. This is just what he wants. And then stinking Elijah comes and messes it all up. Just like sometimes our pastors do for us. And he comes and he casts the mantle, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden Elisha's nice, secure, comfortable, small little world is just blown to smithereens because he knows exactly what that mantle was. He is familiar with the symbol of what that was. And Elijah comes along and it's like, this is my vision for your life, but this is what you're currently doing. And now there's this confrontation between those competing ideologies or mentalities of life. My life with the way it currently is and what my pastor can see through vision for my future. This means that a challenge isn't a comfortable thing. In a sense, a challenge is going to be emotionally and spiritually violent. That means there's emotions involved inside of you that are going to probably be plunged into chaos in the moment of a challenge. You see this many times in how men react to being challenged. As they're trying to work through all these emotions that they're all of a sudden feeling as they're challenged about their life. I believe it's also spiritually violent because we're talking about, you know, the future of what God has for us. And no doubt there are all sorts of different spiritual dynamics that are swirling in that scenario. It's a clash of opposing ideas and visions for the future. Challenge is also personal and it's verbal. 1 Kings 19, verse 20.
And he
left Austin and ran after Elisha and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again. What have I done to you?"
Okay, so here's Elijah. "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He's speaking directly to Elisha. And the reason I throw this in there is because many times a challenge is not going to simply be through the preaching of our pastor or through his example. Yes, there is challenging content in there. We're challenged by preaching. We're challenged by his example. But a challenge, there must be room for a personal, one-on-one verbal challenge from a pastor to a man. This is a biblical principle. Go through the Bible and you see it happening time and time again. Jesus does it with his disciples. You see it happening in the New Testament church, Elijah and Elisha, where there's these personal confrontations. "I'm talking directly to you." Now I'm not just casting vision for the whole church to see who's going to respond, but I see something in your future and I'm going to speak directly to you about that. Now, why is the challenge necessary? Well, maybe let's open up. Why do you guys think this is a necessary dynamic in the kingdom of God? Why wouldn't we just say, you know what, it's enough to just preach the truth or live an example, and let's just see who rises and catches the right things? Why do you think a challenge is so necessary in the sense that we're talking about this morning?
You'll never get anything done.
You'll never get anything done, okay.
I think, like you said, human nature, you know, we like comfort. He was happy where he was. That's what naturally gravitate to first, that comfort.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And we're happy where we are.
Sometimes it's breaking people out of their own fears, you know.
Yes.
Just letting them know, "I believe in you and you can
absolutely
do this."
Yep. Yep. Necessary to overcome fear. Anybody else?
Oftentimes people don't see the potential.
Yes.
Or see the future.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you guys have hit on all very good things and things that I have written down here. That's the first thing I have written down. A challenge is necessary because sometimes men are blind to their own potential. They don't see what they can be, but a pastor does. You know, me and my friend Jesse Morales, who was here a few weeks ago, we're constantly joking around about what ding dongs we were. You know, when we were laughing the other day about, we're like, "Man, can you believe Pastor Greg even led us in ministry?" Like, we would come to church looking like, oh, some of you remember. And and the whole principle behind it was Pastor Greg saw something in us that we didn't see in ourselves. And because of that, there were moments of challenge that opened our eyes to what we could be in God's kingdom. 1 Kings 19, verse 16.
"Also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Milah you shall anoint as prophet in your place."
Okay, so God tells Elijah to anoint Elisha as prophet, which is interesting, of course, because currently that is very far from how he's functioning. He's running the family business. There's nothing that you would probably look at his life and go, "That's a prophet one day." But there's this future vision that he doesn't even comprehend is possible, that is obtainable, as long as there is a man of God that's going to come and challenge him about what he can be and open his eyes to the potential of his life. Many times men are totally unaware of how powerful and how impactful their lives can be. Let me be honest with you, the longer I'm out, the more I see a desperate need in our fellowship and in the world for men to come from this table and get out there on the field. The world is in need of you. Now, the truth is, a lot of times we're going through life and we don't even connect the pieces of just how important our lives are. And a challenge can open a man's eyes to that. I think the second reason a challenge is necessary is because sometimes not only are men blind to their potential, but they can be blind to the current state of their life. 1 Kings 19:20.
"He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again for what I have done to you.'"
Okay, so here we see Elisha has this certain mentality about God, about his relationship with God, about doing something for God. In other words, what he's telling Elijah is, yes, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, but I have to get other things in order first. Let me wait for Dad to die. Let me take care of this stuff. And then when it's more convenient, when it's more comfortable, when it's more secure, then I'm going to go do something for God. And Elijah challenges him. And you know, in a nutshell, what he says is, you're going to have to face God one day about what you do with what he's called you to do. Why, don't make excuses to me. This is between you and God, son. You work it out. And I'm leaving. Take the opportunity or not. I'm going on for God. And in other words, the current mentalities and principles that Elisha is being loyal to, it actually doesn't fit with what God has for him. And this is why Elijah's not waiting around. He says, sorry, it's one or the other, man. You can't have this and this. So you're going to have to decide what you really want in life. And so many times what can happen to us as men is there, maybe we have some type of idea of what our life could be in the future, but we're blind to how our life is right now. And we don't see that there are things that are not conducive with God's will and with destiny that currently exist in our lives. As men, we have a profound propensity for self-deception. We can be convinced that we are in fact wonderful, on our way to great things, and maybe none of those things are actually true. And yet we can be convinced of it. So a challenge can open our eyes to the actual state of things. Like I said, you know, Pastor Greg, he saw potential that we didn't see in ourselves. He encouraged that. And then there came a day when there was a different kind of challenge that was necessary. And I'll never forget the fateful Sunday morning when Pastor Greg called our entire band into that office back there. And it was a bloody, bloody affair. And I believe he said something along the lines of, last night at the concert, you guys looked like a bunch of idiots. And he said, you guys think you guys are hot stuff because you start playing and the little girls start cheering. He said, let me give you some insight, boys. You could fart on the mic and those little girls would cheer. Or, in other words, what's happening in that scenario is we are currently very blind to the current state of our lives. Our character, our pride, our flesh, our carnality. And my pastor saw, if this doesn't change, all of that potential is going to be wasted. Look, your potential is not currently on the path that you are walking. You're not going to get there by doing this. And sometimes that is why we need a challenge. Challenge is an incredibly powerful thing. 1 Kings 19:21.
So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah, and he became his servant.
Okay, so imagine what happens here. Elisha goes from running the family business, living his small little comfortable life that's really having very limited impact. By the end of this one conversation, he has decided to leave everything and he's plunged into this incredibly powerful ministry that many scholars will even argue Elisha, you know, one of the most super gifted supernatural prophets in biblical history. But it all hinged on this moment, a challenge. What happens in the context of a challenge is a very powerful thing. It's very profound. There is such big time ramifications that I think it's so critical for us to understand what goes into this, the dynamics of it, and how powerful it can be. You know, a challenge can rescue a man. I have friends that are in ministry today that their life was rescued. Their ministries were rescued because of a challenge. A challenge can unlock the potential that a man has. Now you think of the disciples, Jesus challenges to them, and the potential that is unlocked in their life. A challenge can have even a greater impact than just that man. You imagine all the people that were impacted by Elisha's ministry, and it all hinged on this moment. There's people that one day will be saved, healed, delivered, churches that are planted, nations and cities that are impacted out of this little scenario, a pastor challenging a man. The guy that we sent out first, Jamie, so like I said, I challenged him. When I first got to Espanola, he was a good guy, But he was one of these guys. He had Christianity and ministry in cruise control. He was just coasting, man. And that was kind of the name of the game. Take it easy. Don't ask me to do anything that's uncomfortable, that is not already on the agenda. And he went from just basically existing by the end. I mean, this guy is having incredible impact. They started getting converts in our church. There's a young girl that they followed up on, brought to our concert scene. She gets radically saved. Today, her entire family's in church. And just Sunday morning, I filled up like two rows. And so now that girl would have never got saved had this guy not responded to the challenge that I had given him. You know, now today he's pastoring a church, and all because of a challenge. So let's think about being willing to challenge. And now I want to consider real quick with you about when you're pastoring, and like I said, this may have a future element to it. When you're pastoring, why it's so important that you challenge men. As pastors, we have a holy calling to challenge men. If you look at our scripture, notice where the challenge comes from. Verse 16. Not that the second time. Give that out. Anybody that's there, you want to read it?
And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall you anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in my room.
Okay, so think of where is this whole idea of challenging originating from? From God. Yeah, so I think that's important to see. This isn't Elijah's bright idea. This isn't actually coming from Elijah, so to speak. He's the vessel being used, but it's actually God's plan. I want you to go challenge this guy about his future. And I think that's important because as pastors, you're going to have to develop some convictions about the necessity of challenging men. This is not a small or insignificant part of our ministry. Discipleship is absolutely our calling. If we are not discipling men, we are missing it. That discipleship is what it's all about. Matthew 28:19.
Go therefore and make disciples.
Go therefore make disciples. This is the holy calling given by God himself. God's plans for the world, for his church, involve a pastor properly challenging his men. And as pastors, I believe the correct perspective to have is the world needs my men. It is unacceptable that I would have men and not be doing my part to prepare them for the world, because God has intricately woven in their destinies into his plan of redemption. Now, of course, a problem is pastors who won't challenge their men. Now, I think this comes in different forms. First, you have some that simply won't challenge their men at all, right? This is David with Absalom, a guy who desperately needs a challenge. This guy has some serious issues, some serious character flaws. And David won't say anything. And no doubt there are pastors that they will not challenge at all. Then I think there's some pastors that they give weak challenges. I would encourage you, read some books about leadership. You want a pastor one day, read some books about leadership. Take some cues from the great examples that we have of pastors in our church, of what it means to be a leader, because just getting the title pastor doesn't make you a leader. Sure, that gives you again a position, but that doesn't necessarily, as you find out very quickly, right, Keith? That doesn't necessarily mean that people have to follow you, and it doesn't mean they will follow you. Being a leader, that is a character issue, and that is a skill that can be learned. And I believe that a bad leadership habit is giving weak challenges to men. I don't believe men respond to weak challenges. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, complaining in front of your men. And that's your idea of inspiring. Well, I wish, some other people would help me. It would be nice if other people were praying. I'd love if there were some people that came on outreach. And, that's a weak challenge. I don't think men respond to that. That does not communicate the urgency of the matter, and it does not communicate the dignity that men have. That communicates like this is more about my convenience than it is about eternal destinies and the potential of a man. It's a passive aggressive approach to men. I don't believe you can be a good leader and be passive aggressive. I have long believed men respond to aggressive, not passive aggressive. And I'm not talking about, you know, having anger problems. I'm talking about having the wisdom to be direct and speaking clearly to the issues. You know, that is Pastor Greg in a nutshell, isn't it? He knows how to speak direct, clearly to an issue and do it in a very wise manner. Then there's others that give twisted challenges, or what I mean by that is they think a challenge is basically, you know, just jacking the men up for what irritates them. This bugged me, so I'm going to get on you and just go off. And I could fill your morning with horror stories about that. I believe pastors who won't challenge their men, it's because there's a heart problem somewhere in there. There's numbers of things that can be involved. I think sometimes it's an issue with rejection, right? Leaders who have a spirit of rejection, they hate to challenge because they don't want to get a bad reaction. They need people to boost their ego, and they don't want men to respond negatively, so they hate the idea of challenging a man. Then there's, of course, the issue of pride, right? Leaders full of pride hate to be made to look bad. So when a man makes him look bad, he can't handle it and goes off. Then worldliness, I would say, is also another issue, that if our loyalty is more to the things of the world, we're never going to really see the need to challenge men about the things of God, right? Because, you know, you imagine as a pastor, if you actually are having carnality rule in your heart, you are probably more concerned about your guys leaving their good-paying jobs and losing their tithe and their ministry and all the things that makes your life more comfortable as a pastor, rather than, hey, you know what you should do? You should leave everything and go pastor, and then I'm going to pay for you to be out there. If worldliness is in your heart, that doesn't make sense. Why would I challenge him to do that? I want him to do the opposite. I want him to stay here. I don't want him to leave. And so worldliness can be something that hinders that. Now, not challenging men is a critical mistake. I believe this is how we can lose disciples. This is how potential is lost and the kingdom is hindered. So if we're going to challenge men properly, we definitely need to get our hearts in line with God. We may need to repent of holding God's men back from their potential. You got to let God heal the internal issues of the heart. And it definitely has to do with having a burning passion for reaching the world, where people's redemption is more important than our comfort or security. All right, let's close and think about responding to a challenge. Now, from the side of being challenged, again, I believe this is there are two parts to this formula. A challenge is a profound thing. There is a pastor who needs to challenge, and then always the other side of the formula is the man who's being challenged. Both of those things are necessary. Correct responses are necessary on both sides of that equation if the challenge is going to have its desired result. If there is going to be an Elisha that comes out of this, there must be correct responses on both sides. So when we are challenged, what do we do? Maybe you should ask yourself. In the past, when you've been challenged, what has your reaction been? I believe it's possible you could have the best pastor in the world, and I'm biased, but I believe you do have the best pastor in the world. If you won't respond to a challenge, it will do you no good. The reality is that we are always going to be in need of a challenge. I'll be honest, a long time ago, I used to have the mindset where it was like, you know, when you got sent out, that you kind of arrived. It was like, you know, you pass the test, oh, and this was pastor's stamp of approval. Then you find out very quickly, you don't know jack squat when you go out. And it's almost like that's the beginning of the learning. And you know what that means? I think that means I'm still in need of a whole lot of challenges. And I believe no matter where God takes me and where God takes you, I think we're always going to be in need of another challenge. And that there must be room in your heart for that. Don't ever think that you come to a place where it's like, I don't need anybody challenging my life. I don't need anybody telling me what to do or giving me some more insight about what's going on. Our future as men hinges on our ability to respond to a challenge. Elisha's entire future is hanging on his response to this challenge. So what hinders our ability to respond? probably many things. I would say some of these issues. First is taking a challenge personally. If you get emotionally hurt by being challenged, that's really going to hinder your future. You have to learn that challenges are for your own good. And it can't be like you are emotionally wounded if your pastor challenges you. Then, of course, pride, right? The universal male issue. Our pride always wants to get involved when we get challenged. Who do you think you are? Why should I have to listen to you? You don't know the whole story. And we start going through all of these reasonings in our mind, and it can actually cause us to miss the entire point of the challenge. And then I think also suspicion of your pastor's motives. If you have allowed the enemy to skew your view towards your leader, and now when he challenges you in your mind, it's for ulterior motives, not because he has your best interest at heart. That's going to hinder your ability to respond to that challenge. Because now you're not just going to take it and run with it. It's going to always be second guessing. Well, yeah, maybe he said that because, and maybe what he really wants is, and now instead of being Elisha, you've become something else. Men who flourish in God's kingdom are those who receive a challenge and respond to it. 1 Kings 19:21.
So Elisha turned back from him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and came to serve.
Okay, so here's a textbook response to a challenge. He takes it, receives it, puts it into action, and runs with it. And what's the result? God's anointing comes upon his life and his ministry. You want God to anoint your life. You want God to use you. You want supernatural power and gifting. Learn to respond to a challenge, because I believe that is where God will really help you. You know, when I challenged Jamie, one of the things I was really watching for is how he would respond. It was honestly something I was kind of very interested in and also a little leery. I talked with Pastor Greg about it because Jamie was actually quite a bit older than me. So I thought, you know, this is going to be kind of a weird dynamic, you know, a younger pastor challenging an older man. And obviously, not having that much experience, that was something I was really thinking about. And so I was very interested to see what he would do. And when I challenged him, one of the things that really stuck out to me was just how much he received what I said. And he didn't fight it. Didn't rise up against me. He took it, and it was like something changed in him, and he just took off. And from that point, it was like God just hit the boosters in his life, and boom, there he went. And like I said, today, you know, he's doing a powerful work for God, and who knows where God will take him. But it all came back to the challenge. All right, let's open up for questions.
Do you think that he already knew that he wasn't doing what he should have been, and your challenge just moved him in that direction?
Specifically with him, yes, but I think part of the challenge he had was just having a sense of the reality of what could be. And what I mean is, you know, when you're in like the Prescott Church, I mean, we're blessed to be in a church where it's like, you know, we're sending out, we're like a machine, you know, we're pumping guys out. So it's not that far off of a concept. If it's like, man, if I press in, you know, I could reach that. I think with Jamie, it was kind of something that was talked about, but he didn't really think it would happen. And so I think that was a big thing for him, was just connecting the dots that it's like, no, dude, we're doing this. Like, I'm not talking about it. I'm doing it. We are going to be sending out churches. And if you will do the right things, that is going to be you. And so I think that was probably one of the biggest things for him, that was necessary. Yeah.
Maybe talk about the balance between, like, I've seen pastors where every service is a challenge, and it's kind of like running their life, where were you for this, where were you for this, and it was like overboard versus, maybe the timing of the challenge.
And you're saying personally or in preaching?
Like, as far as from a pastor standpoint to a disciple.
Like personally challenging the disciple.
Personally.
The ba- balance of Keith?
I think it's what Pastor Miller said as far as the motivation. What's the motivation of it? Is it because you made me look bad? You took this vacation and I had no song leader and I had to get some guy who can't carry a tune in a bucket to get it. You made me look bad. So if that's the issue, then that's horrible. That's going to destroy men. But if it's sincere, and see, the problem that you have is, you know, motive detectors, as Pastor Greg has said, there's no heart detector, you know, can't always tell what is really behind that. So as, you know, when you talk about this, that issue of challenge, you know, some guys do need their butts kicked all the time. That's how they do it. That's, you know, the job of a coach, and it's pick a sport, but the job of a coach is to motivate the men to do what they don't want to do to achieve what they always wanted to be, right? We want to be the champions, right? But I don't want to go out and do 50,000 reps of the mundane. So, you know, you just have to weigh that through. Pride, you know, can be involved. So it's just, you know, it's the balance, the motivation, time of month, whatever.
Yeah, I think there's also a perspective issue, Zach, which what I mean by that is I think, you know, the more you work with people, the more you realize how complex people are. And I think a mistake in what you're referring to, the extreme of like, I need to always be hitting this guy. I think actually where a pastor would really hurt himself is you never give that guy the chance to reveal his heart to you. So this is one of the things that I've learned is it's like you have to challenge people and then leave them to themselves for a while, because what will happen is you will start to see them work these things through. And it's not because you don't care about them, it's not because you don't want them to do good, but they have to work heart issues through for themselves. And so the problem is, if I'm always on somebody, I'm never giving them a chance to make real decisions, right? He needs to, after I challenge him or inspire him or whatever, I actually have to give him time to see how he's going to respond to that. Is this guy going to really rise to the challenge? Is he going to receive it? Is he going to fight it through and have a good heart and a good attitude? It's kind of hard to see that if it's every time I see him, we're going at it again. So I think a lot of times wisdom is challenge. Now I'm going to do what I'm doing while keeping an eye on him to see how he responds to this, because that's going to tell me a lot about how he's working things through and what direction he's headed for his future. So that's why it's like, you know, there's guys, you challenge them and then they pout for 6 months. It's like, I'm sorry, I cannot work with that. I can't work with that. So I'm not beating the guy down every service, but if he can't get himself out of a bad attitude over something I'm trying to do to help him, we're just going to struggle to move forward, right? So I think you have to leave people to themselves sometime to work some things out. Yeah, that's a good question. Their horror stories. Anybody want to confess the terrible challenges that they're not?
Bless me, Father Christ.
What do you do to keep a challenge that you may have received in the past, to keep it fresh? You know, it's sometimes time passes by, you know, and it, you know, that in that moment, you know, it's very motivating and encouraging, but then if maybe things don't work out right away or whatever, there's a need to try to get reference that, you know, use energy from it somehow, you know.
Yeah, I think you have to add convictions to your heart. That is the issue, right? Is I think part of what you're describing is the emotion of a challenge can be very inspiring. You know, we all love when Pastor Greg looks at you. I see something in you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you're ready to take on the world. And you know, but you don't always feel that way. And that's life. That's actually the majority of life. The majority of life, you don't feel the throbbing pulse of, you know, a Friday night at conference. That, you know, most of us woke up on Monday morning and we don't feel that. So what I think is actually more valuable than just the emotional response to a challenge is what Elisha does, which he takes the essence, the principles of this challenge, and he internalizes them in his heart. He allows his heart and his mind to be changed. That is, I think, the more powerful response to a challenge, where it's not, I'm not just weeping in front of Pastor Greg because I got busted, or because, you know, and it's not, I'm so inspired in the moment. Those aren't the most powerful responses. The most powerful is, in 3, 6, 9 months, in years, will something have truly changed in my heart as a result of what my pastor was getting at? Because he wasn't just looking for a momentary response. I have learned, my pastor is, whenever he's challenging me, he's going after a deeper issue. There's something deep inside of me that needs to change. And if I can truly alter that, and that's going to require some serious commitment. That's going to mean I need to go to God in prayer. I need to get into the Word of God. I need to honestly examine my life, my heart, and how much of my life has been affected by this issue. And I need to truly repent with God. And if I can alter really what's happening in my heart, then the staying power of that challenge is far greater.
So we need to look after a challenge, look at you and say, what has changed? When you get a challenger, you need to look at your own life and say, what has changed in me? To validate, okay, I did something with that. Just trying to review your own progress after the challenge.
Sure.
You can say, man, I remember that day, maybe that guy, maybe after that challenge, the next time frame, this changed in me. You can reference that,
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely necessary to honestly review what's changed in your heart. And then a lot of times we have to continually come back to those same lessons, right? Because usually if our pastor has identified something in us, I would dare say it may be a deep issue that has to be dealt with on various levels, right? We deal with it on this level, but then, okay, it played out in your marriage. Yeah, but it's probably also playing out in other areas, and it may be even deeper than just, okay, I got to fix how I talk to my wife. Actually, it may go a lot deeper than that. So I believe there's a time range of digging those deep issues and changing things. And honestly, like I said, I think the biggest thing is just getting to the heart of the challenge. What is this really all about? It's not just about, and I know sometimes it's in connection with what we're doing, but it's not just about your ministry. It's not just about you turned the wrong thing on at the wrong time. It's not about those things. So you got to get to the heart of the challenge. What really needs to change deep inside of me? And then, yeah, like what you're saying, necessary after the fact, if you want to see what you've done with it, then you look back and review. Yeah, I think that's true. Other things you want to add, Keith? All right, time for one more. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, how many appreciate that this morning? Thank you. All right, Sunday school at 9:30.